When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi everybody, it's Karun Chandok. I'm in my camper van, very glamorous here at Le Mans in the paddock. Just watched the Canadian Grand Prix. That was a bit exciting. Well, towards the end, certainly. I mean, what can you say first of all about Lewis Hamilton? Absolutely devastating qualifying lap. I think that was probably one of the best laps in I've seen from him. Really, to take pole position. His 65th pole, lots of emotions with Senna's story and all the rest of it. And I thought that was just a lap really befitting of anybody who's going to equal someone like Senna's record. You know, his commitment through that final chicane in particular was pretty stellar. But, I mean, the whole lap just looked so hooked up. I think, you know, you had Q1, Q2... Well, look, nip and tuck between Ferrari and him. But that first round of Q3 where he went bang, you know, just such a big jump ahead. I was just looking at the times here on my computer. You know, such a big jump ahead into the 11s. And then second round again, an 11-4. Pretty amazing stuff. And, you know, to be really 7/10 ahead of your teammate on a track, one of the shortest laps in terms of lap time, certainly of the season, probably the shortest actually. Now, you know, that it was just a superlative performance. And then once he got to the race, he made the start and he was gone. You know, there was just, I watched the whole race and I think I saw Lewis maybe after the virtual safety car, we saw him thrice before the checkered flag. He was just so far gone. And really for Valtteri, I think, there's a lot of questions. Sorry, I'm just moving the screen. There's a lot of questions that need to be answered, you know, from his side. Finished nearly 20 seconds behind Lewis. One race after he blitzed him in Monaco. That's a, you know, that's a hell of a comeback from Hamilton. And it just shows why he and Vettel will carry on being the two A-listers that fight for this world championship all the way till Abu Dhabi. On to Ferrari. I mean, the start was just a nightmare, and the first lap it all fell apart. You know, Seb's front wing, and then Kimi losing track position, dropping it on the grass, coming out of six, and nearly into the wall. You know, and then they got in this battle with the Force Indias. Just a messy opening three or four laps, and then it just, and that compromises. You know, the margins are so small, and certainly in Montreal, you know, straight line speed of paramount importance. If you haven't got the straight line speed, then, you know, you're in trouble because you can't overtake. It doesn't matter how quick you are through the lap, you can't overtake. And, you know, we saw that against the Force Indias. Kimi was just sort of stuck there and he never quite had the pace. And they changed tyres. And, you know, if you haven't got that straight line pace, Sebastian's, you know, stuff towards the end, come on to Sebastian, showed why you had to be a bit risky. But overall, I think Ferrari would be disappointed. You know, certainly after Friday, they looked like they were the quickest cars. Saturday looked very close in FP3. But then when we got to qualifying, they weren't quite there. And I think they'd be a bit disappointed with the way the weekend panned out from the end of FP3 onwards. Because they would have really fancied their chances. But that's how life goes. They'll have to bounce back from here. You know, we're going to Azerbaijan in 2 weeks' time, and you know, again, we'll have to see big straight line there, but then you've got all those tricky braking zones and 90 degree corners, so we'll have to see how that whole battle unfolds. I have to talk about Force India. I think that was an amazing race, and just the drama around potential for team orders between Ocon and Checo. I think it's a tricky dynamic there because you have to keep in mind Checo brings a reasonable amount of sponsorship to the team, and therefore it's quite tricky to have to dictate terms to him. And You have to see, you know, I've known Checo. I was his driver coach back in F3 in 2007 or 8, probably. So I've known Checo nearly a decade now. He's a great guy, but he's a hard competitor. And I knew from that first phone call that was made about moving over, there was no way he was going to do it. There was just no chance, because that's just not who he is. And in a way, I think he's right. You know, you wouldn't have seen Senna move over. You wouldn't have seen Lewis move over. You don't see Seb. You don't see, you know, Michael. Never, you know, they don't give any quarter. And I think you're fighting for your position in the team. Ultimately, it cost the team because it allowed Seb to get ahead of both cars and possibly allowed Ricardo to break away as well. So, you know, in the end, it cost Force India as a team. But as an individual, I think that's quite a hard call to make. And really, for Force India, I think it would have been hard to force the issue because, as I said, it's a slightly tricky position with Checo being a driver who brings funding to the team. But I thought Ocon drove a great race, you know, to finish. Well, I'm looking at the stats now, 0.2 seconds behind Checo. That's so close. And I think he drove a great race, you know, a rookie who carries on to be probably, you know, the outstanding rookie of the year, if you compare with people like Van Dorn and Stroll and stuff, and even Palmer struggling against Hülkenberg. You know, clearly Ocon, along with Max Verstappen, have shown to be two of the best talents to have arrived in F1 in recent times, I think. But on to Stroll himself. I thought he drove a great race, getting his first points in ninth. He was feisty. He didn't have a good qualifying. He obviously down in 18th, but he picked his way through the drama on the opening lap, got himself into a reasonable position, and then, you know, made some good moves, but also was patient. You know, when the moves weren't there to be had, he backed out of it. And I thought he showed good judgment and maturity and patience there, which, you know, I think hopefully he can build on that and go forward, because that was actually a very good race. Managed the tyres well, and he, you know, it's a tricky track for brakes, and we know he's had brake issues in Melbourne and a couple of other places this year, and I thought he did a good job to just manage his race well and deserve those points in front of his home crowd. So I think that was a really, really good effort from him. And you know, he's been a busy boy. I know there's been a lot of pressure on him and around the build-up to the Canadian Grand Prix, and the pressure's been building through the season on his performances relative to Massa. And overall, I thought that was a really good, strong performance for him. So we'll see how he can build from here. Qualifying is obviously the ultimate thing now that he needs to beat. You know, he needs to start getting within 2 or 3 tenths of Felipe rather than the 6, 7, 8 tenths. And I'll be interested to see how much progress he makes on that. Hülkenberg in the points again. Good race for him and Renault. Haas snuck in the points. And I mean, what can you say about Fernando? Again, another engine. But his brilliance came forward once again as he, you know, he's judging his pace based on what Ferrari are doing. He's looking at, well, okay, hang on, the Ferrari in front isn't pulling away as much, the one behind isn't catching as quickly, so super soft may not be working, let's try the soft. I mean, the man's just got such brilliant, a brilliant way of handling the race and reading the race and seeing how the race unfolds. He could be a strategist, really. I mean, it is absolutely amazing how he can do that. And it just shows how the car's not befitting of a man of his talent, and hopefully, you know, that situation will resolve itself. It sounds more and more likely like McLaren and Honda are heading for divorce, and there's going to be a Mercedes engine in the back of that car, one way or the other. And really, for the sake of Formula One, I think it's sad that Honda haven't been able to achieve what they set out to, but for the sake of F1, we want to see McLaren and Fernando Alonso back up at the front fighting. Really, got to mention Max Verstappen before I wrap up, because at start and then opening few corners was stellar, and he really deserved a result. And, you know, he was holding his own ahead of Bottas. I think Bottas would have had a tough challenge to get ahead of Max. So I think really felt really sorry for Max, because he deserved some points. Anyway, I've got a big week ahead of me. You've got obviously here at Le Mans for the 24 hours, biggest race of the year for me. And we got it's a long week, so I'm here in this camper van for the next 7 nights or whatever. We got practice qualifying Wednesday night, Thursday night, day off on Friday, and then obviously 24 hours over the weekend. So we'll see how it goes. We're in a slightly tricky situation because our chassis isn't, with the Ligier, is not quite as competitive as the Orica that we're competing against in LMP2, but we'll do the best we can, and a lot happens in a 24-hour race. So speak to you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.